Amen. Have you ever been the one in the room with the unpopular opinion? Anybody? Maybe that's time when it seems like everybody else is on board, but something just doesn't sit right with you, so you have to speak up. Or maybe you've had to be the bearer of bad news. Maybe you've had to let someone know that their job was ending, or the company's going in a new direction, and you don't want to share this hard news, but you know that you have to do it. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever been the one with the unpopular opinion or the bearer of bad news, how does that feel? It's not great, right? You have this like weight in the pit of your stomach, this kind of anxiety in your gut. That feeling, I think that was Jeremiah's whole life, his entire ministry. I'm a little jealous because last week, Pastor Amy got to share such an inspiring sermon, lifting up God's sense of humor that surprises us in Scripture. You're not going to find that in the book of Jeremiah. This is a book that's filled with lament, with grief, with honesty, with pain and tears. See, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet at a pretty young age, and he was called during one of the most tumultuous and difficult, painful seasons in all of Judah's history. See, God sent Jeremiah to speak really unpopular truths and to share heartbreaking news. He had to do this. He was calling out people in power who were corrupt and unfaithful, calling them to repent. And often this news came with also predictions of devastation that was on the horizon for them. He had to speak these messages to kings and those in power, which brought about threats to his life and his safety. But also he had to speak these messages to a nation and a people that he deeply loved, which was heavy on his heart. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be hearing readings from Jeremiah. So I thought as we start today, it would be helpful to set the stage and the context a little bit so we understand what we're hearing. So Jeremiah, his ministry spanned 4 decades, almost 40 years. We think that he started his prophetic ministry around 625 BCE until his death at about 586 BCE. Now, before Jeremiah's lifetime, about 100 years before that, in 721, something profound happened. The Assyrian Empire in the north came down and they conquered what was called Israel, the northern 11 tribes, and defeated them and hauled them off into exile. So this was the Assyrian exile, but Judah, the southern tribe, that nation remained independent and strong where Jerusalem was. And so Jeremiah lived in his lifetime with that context, and he lived through the clash of these sort of superpowers around tiny little Judah. There was Assyria strong in the north, but they eventually aligned with Egypt because this new power was emerging, Babylon. And in 605, Babylon defeated both Egypt and Assyria. And so then in those early years of Jeremiah's ministry, he got to work with one of the few good and faithful kings of Judah. That king's name was Josiah. Josiah was one of the best kings they ever had, the most faithful. He abolished idol worship. He was calling people back to faithfulness, to repent, and to live the way God had taught them to live. He did some really wonderful things, but then he died. And after that, things went downhill. And there was king after king, this rapid succession, and it ended toward the end of Jeremiah's life with King Zedekiah, who was not faithful and literally put Jeremiah in prison. At the end of Jeremiah's life, then, he got to bear witness to the fall of Judah, to the destruction of Jerusalem and God's temple at the hands of Babylon. In 587, Babylon came down and decisively wiped them out. Many people were killed. Many were carried off into exile. Judah would never be independent again. It's no wonder that Jeremiah is sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet. Throughout the whole book, we see his honest, raw laments. We see his profound struggle with God through all of this. And so that's the context of our reading today. And so understanding that a little bit more, I want to look again at what we heard this morning, which comes on the heels of chapter 19. And all of chapter 19 is Jeremiah's words bringing these hard things that God has given him to say to the people. And chapter 19 is pretty rough. You may want to go back and look at it this week, but it's calling out some pretty horrific sin. It's pronouncing great suffering that's to come. It's graphic, it's violent, it's disturbing. But through it, you see just how far God's people have fallen and how much they break God's heart. So in chapter 20, what we heard from Joel today was him speaking these hard truths now in the temple of God in Jerusalem. He was given the task of bringing this hard word to the religious elites and to kings to say, what you have been doing is wrong. God does not approve of your actions. God does not approve of your plans, let alone bless your plans. You need to repent. And guess what? They didn't want to listen. Big surprise, right? How many of us want to hear it when we're doing wrong, when we're told we're wrong, right? But he has to speak this truth God has put in his mouth. And you have to wonder as you read this, there's this violent reaction. You have to wonder, why did these leaders, why were these people so violently resistant to hearing Jeremiah's message? Well, see, here's the thing. His words were challenging three fundamental beliefs that the people of Judah held on to fiercely. They were this. First, we are God's chosen people, therefore we can never be defeated. So when Jeremiah was telling them something different, they thought he wasn't telling the truth. That was number one. The second belief they held on to is this. God had promised King David that there would always be a king from his lineage on the throne. So they told themselves, it doesn't matter what the king does. We are Jerusalem. We're God's true throne, God's true king. It doesn't matter if the king is worshiping idols, abusing people, lying, cheating, unfaithful. And the third thing was this. God's temple. This is God's home on earth, God's abode. And so therefore the temple could never be destroyed. So when Jeremiah is telling them that it's coming, they don't believe him. He wasn't just challenging their individual behavior. See, he was challenging through these words their national identity and their religious identity, where their national and religious identities had become fused together in this corrupted way that actually diminished and corroded them both. In this corrupted fusion of religious and national identity is a perfect recipe for those with a lust for power to swoop in and begin to manipulate and control people, especially in times of collective crisis and fear. And so with all that in mind, I want to look again at these first couple verses we heard from Jeremiah chapter 20 today. Now try and picture this in your mind. It says, now the priest Pashur, son of Amor, who was the chief officer, the chief priest of the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pashur struck the prophet Jeremiah and put him in stocks. I mean, can you see this in your mind? Jeremiah is literally standing in the temple of God, preaching God's word that God had given him, and the chief priest marches right up to him and punches him in the face. Please don't get any ideas from this. It's insane, isn't it? This elite priest, why was he so angry that he would resort to violence in front of everyone? Well, here's the thing. Religious validation of the agendas of the powerful is a lucrative business. And Jeremiah was threatening that. On the flip side, prophetic critique of the agendas of the powerful we see as a dangerous business. In the next morning, after Jeremiah is put in stocks overnight, he's released. And what does he do? He goes right back into the temple and starts preaching the same word again. It's remarkable. You have to ask, why would he do this? How does he do this? And we see in verse 9, Jeremiah says in his lament, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then it's like there's something within me like a fire burning shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in. And I cannot. I am weary. I mean, do you think Jeremiah wanted to go and tell his people that destruction was coming? No. But when you see injustice, you can't help but speak up. Something stirs inside you. The Spirit of God compels you to speak out. When you love someone, you tell them the hard truths. When you love something, like Jeremiah loved his people, his nation, you tell the hard truths. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks about speaking the truth in love to build one another up. It's uncomfortable. It can even be painful. But when you truly love, you tell even the hard truths. And this is so relevant for us even today, because there's this crazy idea in the world today that if you speak hard truths, if you criticize or critique your team, then you're being unfaithful. You're not being part of the team, right? Like if you criticize your country, you're not being patriotic. Or if you criticize your company or your boss, you're not being loyal. This crazy idea that you should blindly follow and support everything your team does, regardless of if it's right or wrong, is nuts. It's nuts. And if you don't believe me, just try parenting that way for a while. Right? Can you imagine? Parenting with no accountability, no critique, no correction, no consequences. You do you. I've got your back no matter what. How's that going to work out? Well, not very well. One of our favorite shows in our house is a show called Kim's Convenience, if you've ever seen this. And Mr. Kim runs a grocery store, and there's a mom that comes in with like a six-year-old kid, and he just starts throwing the groceries on the floor and yelling. And he's going, "Are you going to stop your son?" And she goes, "We don't tell him no." Doesn't it go well, right? If you truly love someone, you speak the hard truth. If you truly love something, you tell the hard truths. And on the flip side of that, though, is if we want to grow, we listen to the hard truths, right? If you want to become the person God is calling and creating you to be, forming you to be, we have to be willing to listen when the hard truths are shared with us. I mean, think about it. All the most important relationships in our lives are built on a love that expects us to speak and listen to the hard stuff. But we speak in love. That's how we grow. I mean, think about a marriage. If you can't give and receive feedback, you're going to be in trouble. Now, some of you might be hearing that and go, "Yeah, but my spouse really needs all the feedback." So, Pastor John, well, we can talk about that later. Or parenting, or at work, right? In fact, right now, our staff is working on developing a stronger culture of feedback on our team so we can build one another up and grow in love for the betterment of the ministry. And here's the thing. Jeremiah, if you look closely, he doesn't just speak these words to judge or to criticize. He starts with prayer. He starts by listening to God and discerning, and then he's obedient to God, and it's only then that he says the hard stuff. And even when he says the hardest things, it always comes with a clear path toward change, with an invitation to repent and do better, to be different and grow. And Jeremiah walked with them all the way to the end. So the question I see in this text today for us is this: do I want to be a Jeremiah or do I want to be a Pashur? Do I want to be someone who's in tune with God, who listens and obeys, or someone who just resists God when I don't want to hear it? What kind of leader do we want to be? Do we want to be a King Josiah who's faithful, or a King Zedekiah who resists at all costs? I think our society has forgotten how to do this, how to speak and listen to hard truths, especially how to share those things in love to build up our neighbor, right? Makes me think, what a powerful witness would it be if followers of Jesus modeled this every day in healthy, life-giving ways. What a gift to the world. So here's my challenge for us this week. Practice. Practice receiving and sharing those hard truths. Because I'll bet we've all been avoiding something, right? What is a challenging truth that you've resisted listening to? Maybe from a coworker or a family member or just God stirring in your heart. And on the flip side, what is a piece of challenging feedback that you know you should share with someone, but you've been avoiding it because it's uncomfortable? You know, some of us are really uncomfortable with this. Maybe some of you are a little too comfortable sharing feedback. That's a different conversation. But we always share it in love. We have to remember that. It's rooted in love, because if you love someone, you speak the truth and you hear the truth. If you want to grow, that's how it works, especially when people share it with us in love to build one another up. Friends, I have never grown as a person, as a follower of Jesus, when people don't share anything with me, or if they only share affirming false affirmation. I've grown the most when people loved me enough to share honestly to share in ways to help me grow. That's the beauty. That's the strength of Christian community, this life together where we help transform one another's lives in Christ when together we build one another up in love. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are truth, that you never hold back. Never hold back your love, and never hold back calling us to turn around when we're walking the wrong direction. God, we thank you for this love and invite you to move in our hearts. Help us to build one another up in love in the same way. Help us to hear the things maybe we don't want to hear. Help us to share the things that we need to share, to support one another, to help one another to grow so that together we might become the body of Christ, your hands and feet in this world.